Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
And you are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. 1850 453 106 is our low call number. Our text number is 53106. That'll cost you 30 cents, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. We were talking about Venezuela with Jonathan DeBurka Butler. One texter says, that Venezuelan president, God, I actually thought you were talking about Trump and America up to very late in the conversation. The worst thing is, I wasn't shocked with what you were even saying, says Keith. Another texter says, didn't Sean Spicer say recently that he was offered paid TV appearances in Ireland? I wonder what shows are offering a failed press officer money to talk about losing his job. Maybe we should preemptively ban anyone got to do with the Trump administration. Says, well, I don't know if that would be legally possible, even if one was of a mind to do it. Sean Spicer seems to kind of have left and thought, you know, I'm going to have this fabulous media career. It doesn't seem to be quite working out that way. Unless, you know, maybe these things going on in the background that I'm not aware of. John in Limerick says, from the Illinois state line all the way to California, the US is a bastion of white, anti-immigrant, conservative, God and guns folk. Trump has just taken on their mantle. They don't care or know anything about the world outside the US. Trump has created a new mould that the Democratic Party will find hard to break. Says John, well, we'll see. There are going to be midterms this year, and it's going to be very interesting, given that at least the polls are saying that Trump has never been more unpopular, and compared to previous US presidents, spectacularly unpopular. And usually the sitting president's party gets a bloody nose during the midterms. We shall see. Of course, polls have been wrong before. And on the subject of drinking and Temple Bar, etc., one texter says, Ireland has a terrible relationship with drink. We need to shake the mentality of living for the weekend and start viewing drink differently. When I was living in Australia, you would regularly finish work, collect the kids and go to a cafe for a bite to eat and a glass of wine or a beer. Then you'd go home. I'm not saying that the Aussies don't go out and get drunk. They do. But they have more of a sociable culture and a more sensible approach to it. Irish people seem to be obsessed with getting drunk. You see people in college talking about house drinking before they head out. So they're tanked up even before they step outside door. Well, that's true. It's all, you know, prinks and stuff. And indeed, the kind of Mediterranean attitude towards drinking seems to be that it's to do with when you consume food rather than it's a thing you have by itself. Anyway, that may be a question for another day to put to Graham Finlay, because it is time for Why with Graham Finlay. If you do have a question for Graham, you can send it in to afternoon@newstalk.com. Today's question is, why do we yawn and sneeze? Graham, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I suppose the one thing maybe a lot of people might notice about yawning is that it's very infectious.
It is. It's and there's one of the interesting things about yawning science is that in fact there are a lot of disputes.
Is such a thing.
Yeah, it's a, I think they should have conferences which they call Yawn Fest and stuff like that. But sadly, they haven't gone that way. No, I mean, it is. First of all, it's infectious. Probably some people are contagious. Some people are yawning even now. But you can make people yawn with videos. You can make your dog yawn if your dog likes you. And this is one of the things we're going to come across. We can talk about the contagion of yawning first. It was long thought, and again, this is how science is rapidly developing in this area, that it had something to do with empathy, because they found that people it's more contagious if you're related or a friend of the person you're engaged with, you know, who yawns next to you. Children don't basically experience contagious yawning until they're about 4 or 5, because they're notoriously unempathic creatures, as I believe your daughter might be showing you right now. And also people who it's part of the diagnosis of schizophrenia that people don't yawn as much. And in fact, recovery can be indicated by increased yawning in someone who's got schizophrenia. And people on the autistic spectrum tend to have experience less contagious yawning. And so if you show people a video, in fact, they may even yawn less than if they're just being shown regular videos, whereas people showing a yawning video, in fact, you can find yawning videos online to see how, you know, contagious a yawner you are, if you want. people on the autistic spectrum don't tend to, some of whom have issues with empathy, right, don't tend to experience contagious yawning as much. Higher primates like chimpanzees and baboons experience contagious yawning. And again, domestic animals experience contagious awning, especially, say, dogs, right? Cats, not so much. Dogs, on the other hand, actually care about you. And so they they try and read, and they actually invest some time into reading your signs and your facial expressions. And so you can make your dog yawn. You can try this at home.
Right. Okay. But we don't know why that is.
We don't know. Not only do we not know why that is, now it might have some kind of, there's lots of theories about how it's adaptive. In some ways, it can bring lots and lots of complicated responses. Some packs of wild dogs use, actually it's sneezing, sorry, but some packs use yawning as a way of sort of bringing people together, as sort of identifying with each other. But also, some even use it as a sort of threat response. You know, when you yawn, I mean, many species yawn. In fact, almost all vertebrate species yawn. Babies yawn in the womb. But some of these vertebrate species, and indeed, guinea pigs. You know, now, you don't think of guinea pigs as particularly aggressive, but when they yawn, they show their canine teeth, and it's the beginning of the very pathetic, aggressive response of the guinea pig.
which we all rightly fear.
The same thing happens with baboons. It's true. Like, that horror movie has not been made, I'm afraid. But scientists have gone and studied, and they've done lots and lots of studies of people yawning, and there is no strong correlation between being particularly empathetic and contagious yawning. The one thing which we know is that as you get older, you experience less contagious yawning, for reasons which, again, still aren't known.
Okay.
Nevertheless, this relationship to empathy, however more complex than we initially thought, does mean that they're looking, why are you studying yawning, you might be asking, right? Why is there yawning science? People are looking, because of its connections to schizophrenia and autistic spectrum disorders, they are looking at the genetics behind a lack of contagious yawning to see whether that might also help them find the genes which have some role to play in those disorders. So it's important stuff here, really.
Is it absolutely clear that there's a connection between yawning and tiredness? Or is that, or because we know it's probably this connection for humans between yawning and tiredness, but for, you know, our friend the guinea pig, for instance.
Again, there's lots and lots of theories about yawning, and there was a prevailing theory that somehow, you know, it was, you know, Hippocrates thought it was about expelling bad air, but we moved beyond Hippocrates. And then for centuries, people thought it was about getting good oxygen-rich air into your lungs when you're tired so that, you know, you can have sort of more energy and better functioning. That is now more or less conclusively is proven in very exciting recent developments in yawn science, which are that they think it has something to do with brain temperature and indeed brain health. As so many things do. And one other fun fact which these people, Gallup and Gallup, came up with was that the longer the yawn in a species, the bigger the brain, right? So while gorillas have stronger jaws, and when you yawn, your jaw sticks out, you know, you bring in a lot of air and so forth. You know, gorillas have really powerful jaws, but they don't have as long yawns and they don't have as big brains as us. And so this is the brain cooling theory of yawning, which is that when, you know, your brain, like the processor in your computer, gets hot. And so when you stick out your jaw, blood rushes to your head. When you suck in a bunch of cool air through the nose and mouth, it goes into that rich part of the front of the face where there's all sorts of blood vessels close to the surface. And it cools the blood, which cools the brain. Because your brain takes up a huge amount of energy. Apparently 40% of your metabolic energy is consumed by the brain operation. So you want to keep it cool. Why is this related to getting up in the morning when people frequently yawn, or going to bed at night? Well, just before you go to sleep, your brain is sort of working at peak temperature, and yawning helps to cool it down to get you ready to sleep. And when you get up in the morning, your brain is warming up quickly, like your computer, and you yawn as a way of sort of regulating that. So changes in brain temperature seem to be what's going on. Now, this theory is still controversial, but that's the theory. There's lots and lots of other interesting things about yawns. Yawning seems to be related to the brain chemicals which make you feel good, like endorphins, but especially the opioid neurotransmitters, because people in opioid withdrawal apparently exhibit increased yawning to compensate for the absence of the opioids.
Sean in Limerick says, I've yawned 5 times listening to you before I concluded I'm tired. I'll skip the gym today and chill out at home. So stop saying yawn. I had to pull my car over because I kept yawning. Anne wants to know, do fish yawn? Would they drown if they do? It's a vertebrate
fish
thing.
Fish, no, but fish yawn. And in fact, Siamese fighting fish bare their teeth as a way of sort of signaling they're going to attack. Siamese fighting fish are fun. You can show a mirror up to a Siamese fighting fish and it'll attack that, right?
So, yeah.
But no, fish yawn. In fact, they often yawn as a way of getting in more oxygen if they're a bit oxygen deprived. So maybe the Hippocrates, you know, the 18th century, 19th century theory works for fish. I have to say they did make a crucial confirmation of the brain cooling theory, which is that because you can't do this to human beings, they took temperatures of the mice brains, and when they yawn, their brains do get cooler.
Wow.
And what they did to the humans was they took a heating pack and put it on their forehead, and people yawned 41% more. For 41% of the time, whereas they put a cool pack and people yawned sort of 9% of the time. Again, I think in response to yawning videos.
The amount of people who are texting saying, I'm yawning now, I can't stop.
Causing a national crisis.
Sorry now, if you were operating heavy machinery.
We'll talk about sneezing.
Give yourself a brain. Yeah, somebody wants to know, while you're talking about sneezing, can you tell me why people scream out when they sneeze? I work with the lousiest sneezer of all time. I'm convinced he's putting it on. I'm sure you can quietly get one without making a song and dance about it. It wasn't shocked with what you were even saying, says Keith. Yeah, well, some people sneeze loudly. Some people have a little sneeze.
I have powerful sneezes, but I think that's because I kind of want to. But
yes, you know, because they can be enjoyable.
But this is indeed, and there's this long standing, and I know it's a sort of family time, but that sneezing is somehow related to, let's use the technical term, orgasm.
I pulled a muscle in my neck once sneezing. Okay. So hard.
I'm glad you went that way.
That my head was kind of to the side. I had to go to a physio to get it kind of fixed again. Going around with my head down on one side and met people who thought, oh my God.
That's quite a rare case.
Yes.
Relatively few people injure themselves sneezing, but it can be done.
Well,
managed to actually kill himself sneezing. He broke a vertebra in his neck and died. No, we probably shouldn't be. But this actually does get at something important, which is that, you know, our cultural responses to yawning and sneezing, and I'm sure we'll come to this in a second, are quite different. And sneezing has always been seen as completely involuntary. Mm. Whereas, in fact, you can stifle a sneeze if you want to some extent, right? You can't stop it from happening, but you can change the actual sound and the temperature, not just by covering your mouth, but just by making efforts.
Yeah.
And so, for example, people who are deaf don't modify the sound of their sneezes because
they can't hear it.
They can't hear it, right? Whereas yawning has been seen as, and is seen as, sort of semi-voluntary. You can stifle a yawn.
Yeah.
You can try and control it. And that has led to very, very different cultural responses to yawning, yawning and sneezing. A number of cultures have and do view sneezing in a sort of positive light. Whereas yawning is very often seen as a rude thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you're not interesting, I'm bored. You know, something to be sort of slightly more embarrassed about. Maybe because of this some control you can exercise over yawning, even though it's largely involuntary, as all these studies suggest. Sneezing is really fascinating, though. And we have a lot more of an idea about why we sneeze. Basically, when particulate matter or some other substance irritates the inside of the nose, where there are lots of little tiny cilia, little hair-like formations, they causes an immunological and allergenic response. And so the role of the cilia is to either clear the nose by sending things out, eventually through the muscle action, which is a sneeze, or sending them down to the gullet where the stomach acid grabs them, right? So it's a way of responding to some kind of pathogen or any kind of irritant, right? And so histamine is released by the nasal mucosa, and this is a powerful sort of psychological transmitter. This then sends the signal in the nerves in the nose to the dedicated sneeze center in the brainstem.
Wow.
You have a sneeze center, which can be damaged, actually. Both human beings and cats can lose the ability to sneeze and yawn in the case the medical study I saw, if there's damage to this part of the brainstem. And so this leads, then there's this sort of reverse signal which gets the muscles of the head and the neck ready for the powerful sneeze by locking up a bunch of air in the lungs by closing the vocal cords, which they then release all at once in the form of a sneeze.
Okay.
Now, this is clearly very, very helpful. It expels stuff from your nose. And it's experienced, histamine has an important role in itching, which is why it feels like your nose itches when you're about to sneeze and so forth. So it's an incredibly important chemical, which can, of course, be dampened by things like antihistamines,
right?
Which we take when we have a cold and so forth. So that's the usual cause. About one in four people, and I'm curious about how many people, this doesn't happen to me as far as I know. If you're suddenly exposed to bright light, people sneeze. About one in four people sneeze. Yeah, yeah. And it does release a certain kind of endorphins, and many people have, on the basis that there's erectile tissue in the nose as well as in other parts of the body, that there might be an association with orgasm. But in fact, this connection has been proved to be false.
Yeah. So. Now, going back to what you said about the kind of manners thing, and if you yawn, that you will stifle it, but also you'll cover your mouth because. Yeah. It's almost like it's taboo to open your mouth, and we do the same thing with sneezing.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, we try to cover our mouth in lots of occasions, yawning, but also eating perhaps a little bit and some other things. But yeah, I mean, obviously coughing and so forth. Now, I mean, covering one's mouth and then blessing someone. I mean, what's really remarkable about relationships to sneezing is, in many ways, they're surprisingly universal. Not only just the word for a sneeze, achoo, right, in English, achoom in French, achi in a vast variety of languages, from Bengali to German to Indonesian, use the word, some form of achi, right, and Japanese, hakushin. So just the sound, cultures have needed to come up with a word which sounds like a sneeze. And of course, we're all being human, they all sound relatively the same. But an incredibly wide variety of cultures bless people, or wish them good health, or both, as part of a response to a sneeze. And it's really remarkable that this trait goes back way, way back. We know that the ancient Romans used to bless people and salute people when they sneezed, and very, very often people wish people good health. But sometimes some people, there's lots and lots of rumors about why we would cover our mouths. There are all so many, or say bless you to somebody. Some are that the soul might be ejected from the body during a sneeze. Other that evil spirits will get in through a sneeze. And so you're blessing people to prevent all that stuff from happening. There was apparently the belief that the heart stopped momentarily when you sneezed, which is not true. Don't worry about it. But that you were sort of wishing people's heart to start again. In the end, now all of this stuff is a bit disputed. The idea of saying bless you to people is clearly related to the fact that people have known for some time that sneezing can spread disease. But Gregory, a pope in the 6th century, after a plague, seems to have sort of made it somewhat more required of people to bless people after they sneezed. And in fact, his predecessor died sneezing of the plague. So for all those reasons, that's maybe reasonable. When it takes off. But again, maybe like so many things in the early Middle Ages, they were simply replicating Roman custom, which was well established long before the birth of Christ.
And is it true that Islam's very down on sneezing?
It's very pro-sneezing.
Is it pro-sneezing?
One of the interesting things is there are a number of cultures, including ancient ones, which are pro-sneezing. And again, maybe because it's involuntary. Right. So one of my favorites, and there's a wonderful sort of interview with a classicist about all the times in Greek literature and history where a sneeze has convinced people to do something. So the Greeks believe that if you make a speech and you recommend some course of action, or you're making a claim which is hard to verify, and then someone in the audience sneezes, it's a sign from the gods, right, that they approve this message. And so you can't sneeze yourself, right?
Okay.
It's got to be somebody else. And the idea is that because it's involuntary, a god sort of made them do it. The Greeks really did believe, and we think of them as a bunch of great philosophers and abstract rationalists, but in fact, they believed that the gods were always messing with them, sending them dreams and visions and making them do this and that, and one of them was sneezing. So that was good. And in Islam, there are a number of hadiths regarding sneezing, and the most influential one was that when one of you sneezes, let him say, "Praise be to Allah," and let his brother or companion say to him, "May Allah have mercy on you." And then the sneezer can finally say, if they want to, "May Allah guide you and rectify your condition." One of the interesting things is, I sneeze, you say bless you, right? I say thank you. I mean, there's this whole dialogue which emerged. In Islam, it's really, really important. It was believed that Allah likes sneezes and frowns upon yawning.
They're anti-yawning.
Yeah, yeah. There's lots and lots of really interesting interactions. So in another hadith, there's the idea that, yawning, leaves the mouth open to Satan coming in, and yawning, because it can be stifled, right, is a sort of a sign of a certain lack of discipline. Whereas they are at pains in the selfsame hadith to disregard the idea that, which is very prevalent in Indian customs, that if you sneeze before you're about to start work on some project or something like that, you should sort of maybe stop for a bit and reset things. Because
especially and actually, if you just perform brain surgery,
yeah,
for instance.
Example, right? Yeah. But, you know, apparently, actually, some people think that the sneezing also resets the whole sort of system of the cilia, because it's always there monitoring for pathogens. So there might be sort of a reason to go reset, maybe not whatever work you're doing, but the nasal systems anyway. But no, this was a very Indian sort of thing, and the Hadith is very, very down on people who engage in divination before some kind of important project, as a monotheistic religion would be, you know, which puts all this stock in sneezing. And so it says, you know, no, we believers should have nothing to do with these superstitions. We should simply go about our task. Mm. On the other hand, Allah does approve of it, and maybe this is one of the reasons why they're so anti, you know, divination by sneezing, and so much in favor of sneezing as a whole.
Somebody just texted me to say, I had a sneezing attack last week. I ended up in A&E with the cartilage ripped from a rib. Serious injury. Oh, now I'm listening to you in pain and yawning. God, I hope you get better soon. Graham, fascinating as ever. Happy New Year to you. Graham Finley there. We're going to take a break. After that, how good Sam could save your life.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.